I'm sorry, is that funny? Are you stand-up comic? Is that what you do now?
I will consult the bones.
Throw me a frickin' bone here.
I'm sorry I was born with this perfect bone structure.
It's time for the Comedy Bone Podcast, stand-up comedy radio with your host, Brian Monarch. Are you ready?
God is ready.
There are 215 bones in the human body. That's one.
I just got that old-fashioned romantic feeling where I'd do anything to bone her.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Episode 013. This is hopefully a good luck. Episode 13.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
So you only plan on going to 100.
Something like that. No. We got 013, so we can go to 999, and then we'll have the Y2K problem.
Never
yeah. Pull the mic so it's face. Yeah, like.
Sorry.
There you perfect.
Just put it actually.
You too, Tamer.
Yeah. Fizzes. How's that?
Yeah. Perfect. Well, make it so it's like,
so it look like
90 degree angle, like I had taught you earlier.
Pull.
Yes.
This way.
Yes.
Right here.
That's there. You go.
Okay. Good.
All right, let's go around and get some intros real quick before we get started with our little discussion here. We got LJ.
Yeah, what's up? It's LJ, the Raging Bull of Comedy, the Magic Mike of Comedy, the Half Naked Comedy, the Sexy Bitch of Comedy. Look me up.
I was going to say you're the Raging Bull of Comedy. He goes up all over the country. He performs on all stages all in L.A., and he's awesome, hilarious dude. On the couch, Tamer Catan.
Hey.
You've been doing comedy in the Bay Area. You've been doing comedy in L.A.
Yes, sir.
You're in a film, Gone to Pot.
Yes, sir.
And also some TV design on a dime.
Yeah, that's coming out in fall.
I looked at your bio.
You're classy. I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't mess around. And then also, next to you, we got Brian Scolaro.
Yeah.
This is going to take a while. You got a shitload of credits.
Cornflakes of comedy. Yeah, the Sid Caesar of comedy. He was the Sid Caesar of comedy.
Fox is stacked. NBC's Three Sisters. TBS's Sullivan and Son. Showtime, Dexter. Mad Men. ABC, NBC, TNT, Disney, and HBO. I probably missed something, but I think that...
I missed a bunch, but things are good.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Yeah. Most of that money's gone.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Where does it all go?
It just goes to life. It just goes to life.
Just to life.
I don't buy any yachts. I don't have, tons of bitches. It just goes.
Is there a drug problem involved here that we don't know about?
No. I mean, okay. I'm not going to lie and say there was never a drug problem, but there was a drug problem at one point, but that's not where the money went.
How long ago was that?
Like 3 years ago. But it was only for a few months. I got
a few months. A binge?
It was more of a binge.
All right.
Yeah.
Tamer had a binge, didn't you? What was your binge all about? I was going to ask you about that.
Shit, man.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure, yeah. I'm a comedian, right?
Yeah.
We talk about things.
There you go.
It started in 2000 and went to like 2007.
Oh, a 7-year binge.
Wow. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a binge. Yeah.
It was like a dog year.
What
was a dog drug? It was like a year, a dog year of drugs.
What was the primary drug you were doing?
Cocaine, for sure.
That was the main one?
Yeah, that was the scary one.
Huh.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It makes you roll up your suit sleeves.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Was it Paul F. Tompkins who said it's the anti-listening powder?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Was that your drug of choice, too, during your 3 month?
No.
What was your...
Just Apple Jacks. I'm on a cereal kick right now.
Nice.
All right. LJ, you're clean. You seem like you...
I know. I wish I had some vices. I was like... I got on protein powder for a while. That was about it.
That's your vice.
That's it.
Exercising is your vice.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
It's a problem, even though you don't think it is. You think it's good, but it's a problem.
LJ's vices are creatine and 15-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
I know your routine, man. I've heard it.
That's right, man.
I know what you're all about.
If you dress like an adult, prepare to get fucked like one. That's my motto.
That's a good point. Lincoln said that.
So a quinceañera dress is an adult.
So how's comedy been going for everybody lately?
Good.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
It feels like there's a second coming of comedy right now.
Yeah?
It really feels like there's a lot of stuff happening for a lot of people.
It probably depends who it is, though. How about you, Brian?
Right.
Second coming?
For what? For comedy or for, like, your career?
Well, for my career, definitely. And
good.
And then also, it feels like more stuff.
I think comedy is slowly dying.
Really?
Do you really?
Well, that's what we were just talking about before. Do you want to get all serious right away?
Let's get all fucking serious. Fuck yeah. Right away.
Fucking get serious. Just take off your pants.
Yeah.
I think comedy's dying. How about that shit?
Well, what is it, for example,
all right, Tracy Morgan forced to apologize. Daniel Tosh forced to apologize. Sure. Mm-hmm. Cat Williams, his publicist, apologizes for him. Who else? There's Joe Coy forced to apologize. Mm-hmm. It's like, what did George Carlin and Lenny Bruce go to prison for if it now it's the reverse? Daniel Tosh has to apologize. He was heckled and he made fun of the woman.
Right.
That's what our job is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and now he has, and like, to me, it's like now the audience is running the show and that's not what comedy was.
Right.
Yeah.
Now they want us all to be Bill Cosby? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Right.
I like Bill Cosby. But what's fun about comedy is that there's also Woody Allen. There's also a fucking Tracy Morgan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a Ray Romano. There's so many different types of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Dennis Miller. Like, how many different types are there?
No, right. For sure. I think it's an adjustment period. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're starting to put us in places that we weren't before, and that's why they're starting to try to manage our expectations.
Comedy clubs.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
That's what happened to Dale Touch with the Laugh Factory.
But the volume of the comedy club used to stay in the comedy club, and now it's out in the internet, out on the radio, out on TMZ, out in all these other places. So now we're starting to be put into mainstream audiences, and they're trying to tell us how to behave. I think it's up to us to put our foot down.
I don't think that's anything new. I mean, they gave Richard Pryor a CBS show in the 70s, and he had to go through the same thing. I don't think that theory is it. I think
everything's just becoming politically correct.
What you were saying before about the internet,
that's what I was going to say.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people, like you said, people now, when they have balls behind their computer screens, now it's like going to take those balls out into the world and prove, like, look, if I say this in the computer, I can say this to your face.
That's totally true.
I can control shit now.
And they're controlling it, and that's what's weird.
Exactly.
Yeah. When it's like, I don't know. I mean, well, those shows where George Carlin had to get helicoptered out because he was saying anti-Vietnam stuff.
Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's like, what happened to all that?
Yeah.
Like, I just did Scranton, Pennsylvania, and they had a good time, but like one or two people said he's too dirty. And I was saying to you guys, I'm too dirty for you. I'm not too dirty.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You look up the comic before you see him perform. You don't go see a live band and say, I hope they play country. Yeah. Look them up.
Yes.
You know, and don't get angry at them because they're not playing country.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, I know I said that all before, but said it again.
No, yeah, you so got to. Everything's politically correct now. That's basically, and they're in control. So it's
slowly dying. It's like cancer.
Yeah.
It's a cancer in comedy.
Well, it could be just changing. You know, and we'll just have to go. I don't know.
Maybe there'll be another resurgence of Bill Hicks's and George Carlin's, but those guys existed. Patrice O'Neill and fucking Greg Giraldo, and those guys were alive, and they were still getting shit.
Yeah,
you know what I saw the other day though that I saw as a shift, right? So what we said earlier was that people, because they can do consumer reviews on Yelp, they feel like they can give you an opinion anywhere.
Right.
Right. Technology changes their expectations.
Right.
So I saw this thing and I started thinking that small business owners, they're having a tough time with Yelp reviews. Somebody has kind of a shitty time, they can go and light up your Yelp. These guys at this barbershop put together a book and it's called People Hate Us on Yelp. And they owned it.
Right, right.
And it was badass. I'm like, why don't... And they took all the crazy people and they put them in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all... And in my head, I'm like, anybody that talks shit about this barbershop is a dick.
Yeah.
Right,
and,
right.
You know what I mean? Yes. So I think we have to start figuring out how to do some judo and bring comedy back to what it was, like to what the people gave us. Like,
I'm all ears, man.
Yes.
Don't apologize.
I can't.
Right, yeah. So that's what we need to do. It's like, stop apologizing.
Yes.
And just like what, which is cool, which is a bit, when you talk about Daniel Tosh, he had to apologize.
Yeah.
But now it's cool what he has this like disclaimer, which is funny as hell, at the beginning of his show now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if we just take it, keep pushing, then hopefully the prick hecklers will just stay the heck. I don't know if we can curse.
You can say fuck.
Fuck, fuck.
Can stay the hell at home, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like when people think they can actually control something, then they want to come out, then now everybody, you know, this solidarity world, if this person can say something what they feel, I can say what I want to say, and I can, no, shut up, get a microphone. If you want to do this, get your ass up on stage.
Right, and do it.
Yeah, give us your opinion that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And try to make us laugh.
But occasionally you have one of those people that gets the job, like Keith Moon from The Who got his job by pushing the drummer off the stool. You know what I mean? I don't think we should start bringing that back, that trend.
Right.
But either way, it sucks. But there's still good shows. There's still good shows, and there's still great crowds, and there's still great comics. So it's not, I don't mean to be all negative, but it really pisses me off.
Incidents come up.
You bring up a great point. Yeah. You know what?
There's been a lot lately.
You know what's funny, right, though? Is like the purpose of comedy. Like, I love when comedy changes opinions.
Why do you refuse to talk into the microphone?
Sorry, how about now? How about now?
Yes.
Because I feel cross-eyed.
You keep looking at me.
So comedy is supposed to change. I love when comedy changes opinions. I love when I say something in comedy and someone says, I never thought about it that way before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the way to do it is to start talking about it on stage. Let's talk about people starting to have opinions on comedy and comedy not being as free as it used to be on stage and make it funny. Well, and have comedy be the Trojan horse for change.
Well, you know, sometimes certain comics doesn't fit into the repertoire. You know what I mean? Like Brian, imagine Brian Regan railing on hecklers. Doesn't fit.
We need
a Greg Giraldo or a Bill Hicks.
I totally agree.
Doesn't fit into my sound effects sneezes routine. People always telling me that my sneezes are too loud.
Yes.
I love that routine.
Jeff Dunham's puppets are talking to the crowd. Don't be talking to me about what you think.
But I think you got it right. We need to stop apologizing.
Yeah,
man.
But they really do have power. I mean, I've been fired because somebody was upset. And I didn't even say anything that bad.
Really?
Yeah. What did you say?
Yeah. It was at a club in Sacramento. I said, it was just a stupid joke, that I think Army commercials should follow. I never did this joke again. The Army commercials should follow the same rules that all commercials follow.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the commercial, they should say, side effects include death.
A disclaimer.
This old man got up and said, I was in the war. I was like, so was my grandfather. He was in a war too.
Yeah.
What am I saying? That's offensive to the army.
Right.
Did you know people that died?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so then my joke is correct.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he got out, and then this his wife left, and then a Japanese guy left, and he went, fuck you, to me. And I was like, is that your name? And then it got worse.
Yeah.
But the crowd loved it, and it made for a good 40 minutes after.
Absolutely.
It.
Right.
And then people came from the back of the club and took their seats, and they drank their drinks. It was really funny.
Right.
Yeah. And the next day, I show up, and I'm fired.
Fuck it.
Damn. Shut up.
Yeah. I'm fired. And in 40 minutes, I made the crowd laugh about what happened.
Yeah.
And the crowd had a great time, and I got fired anyway.
All because of one bad apple.
Because one old man went outside and made a stink.
Yeah.
Remember what Kinison said? He's like, it's not important that everybody likes you. What's really important is that 10% of the people fucking love you.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Now, if you're not pissing somebody off, then you don't really have an opinion.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. So you've been in San Francisco recently. You go all over the country. You've been all over the country. Mm-hmm. How is LA different? Like, I don't really go on tours, so I was always curious. Like, is it just so different than LA out there?
I don't think there's much difference.
Really?
In every place. I mean, you're going to have your A rooms, your B rooms, and your C rooms wherever you go.
Right.
Okay. In the C rooms, there's going to be people who are drunk, interrupting.
Right.
They're going to do blowjob shots on the stage between the feature and the headliner. I.e., clubs in Fort Worth, Texas. I'd like to do blowjob shots for 10 minutes before the headliner goes up.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then there's great rooms where they know how to run comedy. The owner of the club cares about the comedy, understands comedy, knows, hey, the lights should be down. Hey, the stage should be lengthwise. Hey, you know, we should drop checks not all at the same time, but throughout the headliner, not all in a 5-minute span.
Right.
You know, because what is he going to do when everyone's paying their bill? The whole room, like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, there's going to be smart people and there's going to be dumb people wherever you go. And the dumb people will most likely go to the C rooms, not the A rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same thing up in San Francisco, Bay Area?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I started comedy because I used to get the shit beat out of me as a kid. You know, we moved around a lot and no, that's cool. I like when you laugh at it. You know, but it's like I was on tour as a kid. We'd go from city to city to city, and I was always the new kid on the block, and I'd always start getting my ass kicked until I learned how to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. And the way I made them laugh was the same way. I think in terms of audiences, it's the same, but I think in terms of comedians, it might be different.
Right.
From L.A. to San Francisco to other cities.
Well, San Francisco, I don't think I've ever had a bad show up there. I love San Francisco.
I do too.
They like to laugh at
some cities are just real. They want smart.
Yeah.
You know, I find Seattle a great town to perform.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Bellevue, Seattle.
Where have you been, LJ?
I want to come up there. I want to come up to San Francisco because I want to do comedy up there, so we'll talk off the air.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I'm actually on my way to the East Coast for the first time. I got a show in Philly and a show in New York at Gotham coming up end of October.
That's great. Gotham, so you're going to have a great time.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Where are you going to Philly? Helium?
Yes.
Helium. Then he's the last guy, that guy, Rich.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very nice.
That's where I'm going. So I'm doing Helium, and I'm doing it. And I've been to Chicago. I'm from Chicago, so I've done comedy there.
Right.
Love it. And I've done the Texas You know, so. Oh, shit. And Arizona a couple of times, too.
Yeah, I did Arizona once.
Yeah.
I like Arizona. So, Arizona's they're smart. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I just think there's bad and good everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
know,
I think the only thing, the only thing about L.A. is when you get the comic, I mean, when you get the crowds that are, when you get a crowd full of actors and, you know, like with that, I can do that attitude. You know, I took 3 years of improv, so I know I can do stand up too. That, I think when you get crowds like that in L.A., it seems to be somewhat of a challenge, if you will.
Right. But it's interesting. I think even in LA itself, everything's very different. Comedy Magic is night and day from the store, and the store is night and day from the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It all depends even on who's booking the shows or who's producing that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The one thing I noticed that's different about LA to New York in regards to stand up is in New York, if you did a fake accent, if you had a guitar, if you did, I don't know, a character, or did all, you were not allowed to perform.
In LA,
it's like this guy pretends he's Indian, mm-hmm. and this guy has a guitar, and you're following the two of them. And I go, what?
Yeah.
Like, no, the guy with the guitar goes at the end because he's got a fucking guitar. Okay. And you can't hear the audience not laughing if he's playing a song.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
And everybody's trained to do this. After you memorize 5 minutes of a song. Yes. So it always looks like you're doing well.
Right, right.
I'm not saying that guitar comics suck, because some of them are great.
There are some good ones.
J. Chris Newberg is great. Henry Phillips, great.
He's on here
Stephen
next week.
Stephen Lynch. Yeah, those are really funny fucking people.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just want them to go on after me.
Yes.
Nice. So you're from Chicago originally. Did you do comedy there first or here first?
I did comedy there. I started there, but I perfected it here.
All right.
Because I went through a second city in Chicago. So I was an improv theater actor. Did a little bit of...
Oh, my God.
That's my kryptonite.
Come on, help him out. You got to take it. Help him out.
Sorry about that.
Don't let that get out what my weakness is.
Guard her.
What's your weakness? Guard him. We can't mention what's happening.
I am so bad at attracting.
Hairy pussy. It's like, you know.
Something's happening.
The cat. No, we could talk.
I don't know if he wants.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Anyway, what were you saying?
So I started out there, and I actually perfected it here because I actually found the comedy scene a lot better here. And I guess I was fortunate to. Yeah.
Well, there's more clubs here, first of all.
Just with comedians, you know, reaching out, trying to hit when I first got here. Because, like, Jamie Kaler, good friend of mine, when I first started doing comedy, I mean, actually, guys would say, oh, yeah, so you really trying this? So a lot of guys set me down with try this, took me to other rooms and stuff like that. So I found it. And that's what really made me fully merge myself into comedy here in L.A. And like I said, I don't know if that was a luck thing or what, so...
I don't know. Maybe you just were funnier by the time you got here, and some people wanted to help you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I love Chicago. That's great. They just have a new club opened up there.
Yeah, I know.
Two new clubs, actually.
I'm going to grab her. You guys talk about sex.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you guys all single?
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to answer that question.
But speaking of San Francisco, you should come up because Phil's Diller just passed away.
Right, I know. Right, because I want to do the Onion.
Exactly, and the Onion's going to close.
It
a lot
is.
Of people don't know that. Exactly. What? End of September, the Onion's going to close. Yeah. So
shut it.
Get up there before it closes. It's crazy. I can't believe that we're letting it close. It's bananas. Okay.
You know, I can't believe they're closing it, too. Why is it closing? Because it's not doing
They got
well.
A new owner. And the owner?
Yeah. Because you know what happened there?
I know, exactly.
Because you know
exactly.
That's where...
Phyllis Diller, Lenny Bruce. Exactly.
Yeah. For God's sake, Smothers Brothers. Man.
Smothers Brothers. Maya Angelou read poetry there. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of... It's so iconic.
Right.
It blows my mind that they're going to let it close.
It's really iconic. I mean, if you consider Lenny Bruce part of the change from Catskill humor... to what it is now.
Right.
If you consider him an inspiration for George Carlin and Richard
Pryor.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Then you have, that's where American comedy took place and changed.
Absolutely.
In one of the few places.
Yeah. Right.
That alone is, I don't stand.
Exactly. I swear to God, I had goosebumps on that stage.
That's
I
like
really did.
Yeah.
I
like
really got around. Goosebumps on that stage.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, you look around, you go, Steve Martin, Smothers Brothers, Lenny Bruce, for God's sake.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know how to get past that.
Yeah. Right.
That's like closing Studio 8H, the Saturday Live studio, and go, no, this is where, it may stink now, but this is where American comedy changed.
Exactly.
This stays.
Wow.
But how are you going to tear down?
So you're talking about the Purple Onion?
Yeah.
Purple Onion. When's it closing?
It's closing end of September.
Is that the main club up there?
It's not the main club. I mean, there's Punchline and Cobb's, but Purple Onion's just, it's got some amazing history in there.
Yeah.
You know, Phyllis Diller, you know, Woody Allen, Lenny Bruce. Just, it's amazing the history that's there.
I was very excited to play there.
Yeah.
And it was fun. They were really cool and smart.
It's just grimy enough.
Yeah. It's like a New York, it's like the old Boston Comedy Club in New York.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of shit happened. There was a club in New York that's no longer existing, but that was where everybody from the Cellar did like what let loose. Like, okay. You didn't have to kill in Boston, but you had to kill in the Cellar, and everybody just kind of sneaked over to the Boston end and didn't tell the owners of the Cellar they were playing down the street. Right. And they just went up there and just said some crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was crazy. It was like the old West in there. People were like, it was like shooting at the stage.
Right.
And it was just crazy shit left and right. Patrice O'Neill, Jim Norton.
Man.
Like, nobody knew who they were.
Right.
You know? And it was like the high watermark in the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That's awesome. That's
I think I moved your mic a little bit, by the way.
That's where you see the high watermark where the water, the waves broke and the water rolled back. I could hear myself fine.
Yeah, that's better.
I don't understand. I thought I was doing a good job.
You are doing a great job, man.
I thought so. Nobody's really listening to what I'm saying.
We are listening to what you're saying.
Yes.
Let's talk about something funny, though. I'm sorry.
No. That's good. Let's talk about something funny. You have an abusive father?
Yeah. You know, but it's funny. Yeah. Like, I always say this. I like to caveat it with this. Parenting in the Middle East looks a lot like child abuse in America.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you talk about it in your act, so I figured I'd ask.
No, I'm cool with
anything. If it was serious or if it was just made up.
Oh, no, it was real. It was definitely real.
You still have a relationship with him?
No, he passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That was actually what got me to start doing stand-up.
Oh, okay.
It was him passing away. So it wasn't a bad thing. We got really close. What happened was he got cancer towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to therapy, and I was ready to talk to him about it.
Right,
but then
right.
when he had cancer, I'm like, I can't talk to him about it now.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you don't know how much of an impact stress has on cancer. And I didn't want to. So we got really close at the end. We became really close. And I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
You know, but then I couldn't talk about it.
Right.
I didn't have closure. And that's what drew me to doing stand up and talking about it on stage. I mean, when I started, my whole act was about he and I.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, this is 7 years ago now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think I realized you were doing stand-up that long.
I wasn't. No, I started stand-up like a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
We can talk about how many people have been tagged as a pair of sneakers on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
I have at least 80 pairs of sneakers this year alone.
That is so
annoying. I can't take it anymore.
I'm an Air Jordan every week.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Or like a pair of pumps, like a glow-in-the-dark pink pair of pumps.
Oh, yeah,
happening yet? This is nonsense.
And it's not usually them. It's somebody that hacked into their profile.
Well, obviously, I know that, but I'm saying, but like, who is this sneaker guy? It's so fucking, he's so committed.
Yeah, man.
The real question is, it's just like the Viagra things from the spam that you get. Like, who's actually going and saying, oh, those are a good deal. Where do I buy them? Like, are they selling sneakers exactly. because of this? That's what I want to know.
Well, how can you trust them when, first of all, you know that they hack somebody? Like, oh, I'm gonna buy from that guy.
Like, I'll get,
he just stole this guy's identity.
You ever get emails?
Let me have his business.
You ever get emails that's like, hi, Tony. It's like, my name's Brian. And then it says, get Viagra in Canada. It's like, are people saying like, oh, well, I got a hi, Tony email. Maybe I should buy Viagra from these people.
Yeah. Yes. Nobody pays that. I get emails from the young comics on Facebook. They're like, would you like to bring 10 people and do 5 minutes clean? I'm like, no. No, I don't. Please leave info on the person you're emailing.
When I started booking the shows, because a lot of the shows in LA are like that, you know, and I hit up Ty Rivera about that. And he lost his shit.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
In a Rivera kind of way, I bet, too.
It was just like...
Google
me, Brian Monarch. Why don't you Google me?
Maybe... How do you know he said it like that? Maybe he was very calm.
I'm interpreting it.
Google.
No, I'm interpreting the phone call where he was yelling at me. So it is how he said it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's awesome.
Can we get controversial for a second?
Yeah.
I like Tyler Rapp. Go ahead.
I like him, too. Yeah, he actually
make that clear.
He headlined an M-Bar show of mine long after that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great.
The controversy is you wanted to cover one of those faces over there.
Oh, man.
No, okay. No. I just wanted to know.
No. No.
All right.
Sorry.
You hate anybody in the comedy world, LJ?
If you wanted to know, you would have asked me before the show started.
What you want to do is
get good radio. And
well,
I'm not playing.
There's nothing wrong with killing two birds with one stone, bro.
I'll tell you, if there's payment for doing this podcast, or gas money for the 25-minute drive, I'm getting pizza. That's
I'm assuming pizza's not enough.
Well, there's three fucking slices in there.
All right.
He wants to know about my personal gripes. He's asking you about, oh, your dad's in your act.
We're cool. That's cool, you know, that you had a dad. That's nice. I wish. But anyway, that must be nice.
I would have traded you.
Sure.
Not for the last couple of years, but for the years before. I'm on.
Mm-hmm. Getting raised by a mom.
I got bullied.
Learning how to fight from your mom.
That's great. At least you were taught how to fight. My parents never taught me how to fight.
Yeah, I learned how to take a punch.
My mother's advice was if somebody at school bothered me, for me to scream and cry and yell.
See?
To get people that makes to sense. Pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that was her defense. That was her.
Okay. All right. So, what are your favorite clubs in LA, guys? Do you have a favorite? Like, are the big ones?
I love the Store. I've always Comedy been a fan store? Of the Store. But Improv's a great stage as well. I love Improv. Laugh Factory. They're all those are. I love those three.
I love the House. The Ice House.
Yeah. Ice House is great.
Ice House is always good. Last.
I love the Ice House.
I used to love the Ice House.
Yeah. He used
until
to.
That fucking old man took over, and he doesn't even have cable. It's like, hey, who are you booking, asshole? Uh-huh. He's like, I don't think your material would go over well. I was like, I was playing her 8 years before you fucking took over the job. Uh-huh. I mean, you don't know it would go over well here. Fuck you.
Well, you're willing to talk about some people.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes. But he's not a comic, and I don't work with him still.
Right, yes. I understand. Yeah. You're going to run into these people. I understand. Yes. Do you like a Comedy Store? Or is that
yeah? No comedy. I have nothing bad to say about the four of the five clubs in the Los Angeles area,
minus the Ice House.
The Ice House. I just think they chose the wrong booger.
Okay.
And they also
he told me the same thing, but I don't have as much as experience
also,
as you do.
But he just didn't even research. The one time he saw me perform, Jay Davis had a show at the Ice House. It's going to sound like I'm bragging.
Don't
but
freaking
I literally was the only comic who did well the show.
Okay.
And right. He has the nerve to say, I don't think your stuff will go over here. And I go, that was his first day of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that to me a year later after he dodged my emails for a while.
Right.
Wow. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, but that's fine. Don't use me. That's fine. But don't make up something.
I don't think it's the humor quality. He told me it was the dirtiness of my humor. Like, why he was with
well,
you.
I'm not even that dirty. I just say fuck every once in a while. But I've heard fuck. I mean, I've seen people light a matchbook on fire and throw it at, like, Johnny Sanchez when he was headlining that. He didn't know. He had his back turned, and this big ball of flame almost hits him. And the old crowd goes, whoa, that place sucks.
So I just got to get the right subject, and we'll get some opinions here.
Uh-huh.
What else we got going on? You got any TV shows coming up that you're doing? You
were on Sullivan's on TBS every Thursday. That's good.
Great. Is that a regular gig now?
It's a recurring role.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. It's been 7 of the 10 episodes. They just aired number 7 of 10, so there's 3 more left, and I'm in 2 of them.
That is awesome.
Right. That's
awesome.
Yeah, no, Steve's a great guy to work with.
There's Steve Burns. It's all full stand-ups, right? Owen and you Roy and Ahmed Jr. Ahmed.
Oh, yeah, Roy Wood Jr., Ahmed, Owen Benjamin, myself. They're always stand-ups that are doing guest roles. Chris D'Elia was just on it.
Oh, that's
Mike
right.
Mike Fairman
right.
did a guest appearance. Jade Catapretta.
That was a great episode.
Which one?
One with D'Elia, the guy on the dating site.
My whole theory, I think that, like, that was directed by the guy who did the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you watch Big Bang Theory, like, the laughs are really long on the show.
Yeah.
And I think a good TV director uses the first takes and just cuts out random lines. Mm. This way you can keep those nice long laughs in. Yeah. Everybody Loves Raymond had huge laughs. And I met a writer one day and I go, did you guys write the script short? And he was like, yeah, we wrote like 4 pages short. And I was like, that's so they can keep in the big long laughs. And I think that makes the world of difference.
Right.
And that episode that just aired, that so far is everybody's favorite.
Yeah, mine
and
too.
And I think it's because it was the first takes.
Yeah.
Because the other episodes were great.
I gotta watch that show. I haven't caught it yet. There's so many shows on now. How do you like keep up with all of them? Like they're like, you gotta watch Mad Men. You gotta watch this. You gotta watch. It's like there's like 200 shows now.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I gotta watch that one though because all my peeps are on there.
My peeps,
people that are on my shows, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
It's good to see good writing in a show. You know what I mean? Because there's time where you're rooting for your friends. You see them. You're happy for them. And then sometimes the writing. It's not your fault. You're limited to what you're given. But I'm really happy when I saw that because I go, that show's going to last. That show's going to make it.
There's so many. There's 11 characters.
Yeah,
that's a lot. And then you got the writer from Cheers. It's produced by Vince Vaughn and Ralphie from The Christmas Story, Peter Billingsley.
That's awesome.
Which is fucking crazy.
Oh, okay.
Talking to Ralphie from The Christmas Story.
The one that was going to get his eye shot out?
Yeah. But he's so nice and so funny. And it's like so bizarre.
Right.
To look into the eyes of Ralphie from The Christmas Story.
That's awesome.
That is nice. Cool.
There's an edge to it, too, that I like, you know?
It rotates. There's clean joke, dirty joke, edge joke, clean joke. It's like a... There's so many characters that it changes every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. Like 1 minute it's on this character, then it's on that character. And it's like, if you don't like somebody, they're gone in 2 minutes. So don't worry.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I miss that. I miss the edge from shows in the 70s, like Archie Bunker and Good Times and stuff like that. Yeah. It was. I got excited when I heard some of this stuff, especially from the old cat.
Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Were you guys, do you have any funny stories from like your road gigs and stuff? Like anything interesting?
They're all
like
tragic. They're really? All tragic negative stories.
Like what? Like any, is there any story that stands out that you like, you think is just out of left field? Like this is crazy.
I had a guy in Minnesota try to get on stage and punch me.
Oh, shit.
And it was in the first minute of the show. So whatever I did, like it just bothered him.
Wow.
The feature I had was told not to respond to the crowd because he upset the crowd the week before.
Oh.
So they were all heckling. They were all really upset with him, this show, and he couldn't respond to them.
Whoa.
So when I went on stage and these people in the front were talking, I made fun of them, and he got very upset and tried to hit me. And then they kicked him out, and again, I made fun of him for a long time, but he went on. He called the club every day for the next 2 weeks.
Wow.
And he demanded free tickets. So the club eventually, after 2 weeks, said, okay, we'll give everybody free tickets in your party except you. You're not allowed back in the club because he tried to punch me.
Wow.
But eventually the club caved because he called them every fucking
day. Wow.
Yeah. But that's the kind of stories I have.
Yeah, heckler stories. I like the heckler stories. You ever get heckled?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
I ask comics a lot, and like some just, I've never been heckled. And then other people are like, every time I go up.
It's impossible. They think heckling is an insult.
Right.
Heckling is just interruption.
Right.
Yes.
We've all been interrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was interrupted last night, remember?
Yeah, I absolutely.
Ashley. just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
If you could try to remember all the evil things said to you while performing throughout your whole career, maybe it'll come down to five.
Right.
Like the amount of interruptions I've had are countless.
Yeah. Right, right.
Thousands.
Yeah.
I've never had one last long, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to come quick with a surgeon's knife. I don't play with hecklers.
Right.
I'll come mean and hard and sharp because they deserve it.
Yes,
and the audience feels that they deserve it, so you can come real strong.
You know what I like doing? Yeah. I like going at, if you're a male comic, it's usually a woman heckling you.
Yeah.
If you're a female comic, it's usually a male heckling you. Yeah. But it's weird.
So true,
but it's like, I usually go after the person they're dating.
Yeah.
And that seems to really shut them up, because now I'm fucking with their life the way they were just fucking with mine.
Right.
Like, you may just come here for 5 minutes, but this is my life.
Right.
And you're screwing with me. And you're going to make me look bad. You're trying to make me look bad in front of a crowd and the booker and the people I work with. So now if I tear apart your relationship, I've fucked with you equally, on equal terms.
Yeah.
So I like going, if it's a guy who heckles me, I like saying to his girlfriend, why are you fucking this asshole? You think that nobody knows him like I do. Well, that's not true, because you're filling him full of asshole confidence that he's going to go out and be an asshole to us all and not to you. But you're rewarding him for being an asshole. And that makes you an asshole. So now there's two assholes. And then if you have a baby, that's three assholes. And all the nice guys you turned down, I'd be like, fuck that. I'm going to be an asshole too now. So now we got like 17 assholes walking around. All because you're fuck this one guy. Stop fucking this guy.
Damn.
And it goes so well.
And there you go.
And if the guy says anything, it just makes it worse.
Right.
It's like cooking with salmonella. Everything you make is going to be nasty.
It's a lot of fun.
Exactly. What about you, LJ?
I don't have cool story. Like, all I get is just women hitting on me after every show. That's
what it is.
Must be nice, LJ.
The Raiders story. That's a great heckling story.
Seriously, I really don't get hecklers, but every heckler I've ever had, like you say, interruptions, it goes with that, interruptions. Every last one of them have, you know, tried to buy me drinks.
Yeah.
And at the end.
Meet you outside. At the end. Yeah. But one story, this is a trip. We had one heckler. He was heckling every comic.
Right.
I mean, he was just interrupt, just drunk.
Yeah, he wanted it.
And then he's one of those people who said, well, yeah, I think, you know, he said, I'm funnier than you. I'm funnier than you. I said, all right. So, and I was headlining. It's happening headline. So I go on stage and I said, all right, you've been fucking with everybody on. And before I even started my set, I said, come up stage. Could you think you're funnier than everybody else? If you make these people laugh, I'll give you my entire check. I don't care. You know, I wasn't making that much. But anyway, it wasn't Brian money. It wasn't Sklar money. But
here's the chicken tenders I owe you.
Exactly. So then he gets up there. I said, all right, come on. I said, go ahead, make him laugh. Make him laugh and then he's sure. So he gets on the mic and he starts talking. He goes, and I'm like right in his ear and he says something. I go, boo. Then he kind of jerks and he said, wait. Then he starts talking again. I go, boo. He said, how the fuck can I tell my joke if you keep bothering me? I said, exactly, motherfucker. I go, sit the fuck down. Yeah. And then, but it took that. He said, oh. And then he was cool for the rest of my set. But
that's great.
He never, yeah. And that was like I said, the Raider that's story. Great. It was just a guy who didn't understand a joke. And rushed the stage, and he was all of 4'11".
Man.
And I was like, man.
I just saw a rainbow and sparkles. That's one to grow on.
Exactly.
That was a great trick.
Boom. Yeah, it is a good trick. Yeah. Put him in your position and let him have it.
You would have been screwed if he didn't say that sentence, though.
You're right. I know. But like, I know. It's like, oh, well, you know. Then I would have just knocked him the fuck out. You know?
Rage.
Weightlifting has its privileges.
You also have you work on music, right? What kind of?
Yes,
I saw you Facebook post today. Your studio.
Oh, yeah, I was in the studio today working on an album. I got a top secret project. Let's just say it involves a group that rhymes with Ben Bogue. Nice. Me and a music partner. I'm working on a couple of music projects right now, and I'm actually going to put out another solo hip-hop album just because,
you know. That's cool.
It's fun. Yeah.
You have an album out right now already?
Well, I haven't put an album out, like, oh my god, I think it went double wood, double copper or something. But it was LJ's Famous. PHAMUS Famous.
Nice.
That sounds good.
That Michael reach back there if you wanted to lay back, by the way. It'll follow you.
I just took a break.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
All right. So you guys watch the Olympics?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Olympics. I don't give a shit.
All those bodies?
Oh, my God.
Chicks' bodies.
Better bodies on porn sites.
But you know what? Like, what I love about the Olympics, seriously, like the sprint races, all the white countries that came in, like, last.
Right.
But those are some hot chicks. It's like, you know, really, yeah. It's like, you know, you look at the sprint, because you know the ugly black Americans, yeah, I said it, we're going to win. But then it's like, you know, like the chick from like Latvia, oh my gosh, she was hot. Because like she was in shape, she had abs and was like beautiful, but you knew she wasn't going to win because she was hot.
All right, I'm going to change the subject real quick onto something that just came to my mind. Do they make movies like they used to make movies?
No.
Thank you.
Well, I thought that was obvious. First of all, they're in color now and have sound. You can't set me up.
No. I mean, like, it just feels, I don't know if it was because I was a kid and I was so much into the whole fantasy of that movie. Like, right. You know, but now it's like all these movies that come out suck.
I had a friend over yesterday and I showed him a Marx Brother movie. And there was about 20 laughs in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, for you to get a comedy made, first of all, you need a celebrity. And second of all, you need at least 5 laughs in the script.
In the movie.
That's actually true.
Wow.
As long as you have 5 guaranteed laughs in the movie and a celebrity, the comedy will probably get made.
Yeah.
That's really unbelievable. And that was like 5 in like 30 seconds in a Marx Brothers movie.
Yeah.
That's how well they've changed for me. And also, there's too many fucking close-ups. I don't need a shaky camera action fight sequence.
I don't need that shit
either. Give me the fucking French Connection or the Blues Brothers where the car chases, this real cars falling into each other, wide shots.
Uh-huh.
I don't need fucking shaky camera to pretend I'm in a fight scene.
Right.
I know, I can see it, and that's just as shocking.
Gets you fucking nauseous, too.
Yeah. It's not even really there. It's just some guy in the backseat. The car's not even moving. It's the cameraman jerks around. And they go, all right, that's it for today.
It just feels like it's so rare that a good movie comes out nowadays.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, when I see someone that's really, really good looking and someone says, do you think they're funny? I'm like, with 90% confidence, no. No, they're not funny. Because they don't need to be.
Right?
And so, they don't need to be. Dilia's an exception. He's a handsome guy and funny as hell. But for the most part, if you're really good looking, you're usually not that funny. And I think movies today are all about being really good looking.
Hmm.
And I think that's why
Back to School would never be made now with Rodney Dangerfield.
Exactly.
Right.
Not to say he was ugly. Yeah. But he wasn't exactly conventionally handsome.
Yeah.
Right.
That movie would not be made with him.
Yeah, well, not just the people, but the way the movie shot, the special effects, camera, all editing, is being used as like a handicap for just great storytelling.
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
When you really think about when we all wanted to do this when we were kids and we watched movies, this is not what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's changed. Right, right. The game has changed.
Yeah.
John Candy wouldn't be allowed to lead a movie.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
How great he was and how beloved he was.
Mm-hmm.
He would not be allowed in movies right now. And if he was, they'd just be dumb fat jokes.
Right.
He'd play an idiot every time.
Even, I've watched, did you guys see Ted?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Like,
seen
I thought it was, it had like four or five funny parts.
The first half was great.
Yeah, yeah. And
then
I thought,
the second half, I was like, I've seen it.
Yeah, but I felt like I felt like I'd rather watch four episodes of Family Guy than watch that again. Like, it's just like, it was just like so much, it was just, I don't know, it just wasn't what I was expecting. I was hoping it'd be better. You have a favorite from the, you have a favorite movie, like a funny movie?
Favorite funny movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I have of all? Several. Of all is hard. I mean, I really love Marx Brothers and Laurel and Hardy, and let's move those aside.
My dad loves Laurel and Hardy.
I mean, they're fucking, they're brilliant. They're fucking brilliant. And if you don't have the patience to sit there for 3 minutes and wait for the biggest laugh that you'll have had in months, then what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's, well, you got Caddyshack, you got Blues Brothers, I still find very funny.
Yeah.
Weird, weird movie. Musical numbers and car chases. It's crazy. But I like, there's a great movie called Seems Like Old Times with Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn, and Charles Grodin. Most people don't know
I've ever heard of
it. It's fucking hilarious. It's a really funny movie. But it's like, there's great movies like that. There's a movie called, what the hell is the name of it? My Favorite Year with Peter O'Toole. And it's about when Errol Flynn came to host the Sid Caesar show. And Mel Brooks was a writer, and they put Mel Brooks in charge of babysitting Errol Flynn because he had a drinking problem. So it's just a remake of that, and it's fucking great. Young Frankenstein, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
It's like music.
Yeah, man.
Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. Doesn't stop. These are good movies all from a long time ago.
There's quite a few of those I haven't seen, too. I got to go check some of those out.
Some I threw in some ones that nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, there's great ones out there.
Nice.
I can watch Midnight Run any day of the week.
Midnight Run?
I can watch that, yeah.
Nice.
To the end, every time it's on.
Are there any comedies in the last 10 years or 20 years that you've liked a lot?
Yeah, like I thought Tropic Thunder was great.
You do you like Tropic Thunder?
I thought Tropic Thunder was great.
I liked it.
Yeah. I thought it was well thought out and funny. Yeah. There was some hit and miss parts, but most of them were hits.
I did like that movie.
I laughed my head off the whole way, like a lot of the way through.
Did you like Wedding Crashers?
I did not see it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I was on an anti-Owen Wilson kick for a long time. He's great, okay, but I was tired of, why does every movie have Paul Rudd, Owen Wilson, and Seth Rogen? Why does how did they become what American comedy?
Yeah,
it used to bother me, so I refused to see the movie.
Right, I'd recommend that one then if you're going to check. I'll check it. I think it's really fun.
I like Vince Vaughn.
You're going to love it, dude. Yeah. I think it's one of their best films, both of theirs. But yeah, I mean, that's just my opinion.
So. It made me excited to go to weddings again. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, there's a benefit I didn't think of.
Yeah,
I think I saw the last half of Wedding Crashers. The redhead's really funny.
Yeah, she's hot, too.
She's super hot.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why they put hot people in movies. Cause
there you go.
She's super hot.
But she's actually talented. Yeah, yeah.
She is, yeah.
So, what was it like working on Dexter? Was it a big part? How was that? Because I watched that show a lot.
It was, season 2, episode something, or Resistance is Futile. It's the one where he catches... Do you watch the show?
I watched every episode.
There's one where he catches Dokes and by the docks, and he traps him in a cell in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
That's the episode where he thinks we're hunting him, and the audience does too. And then I come in and commandeer his computer for like 3 scenes.
Oh,
and he insults me so I kick him out purposely.
Oh, I think I remember that in his blood bank computer, right?
Yeah. And at the end, I come in and go, "Hey, we were going after the other guy," and he's like, "Fuck you," you know. But it was kind of fun because all my scenes were with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was really in character the whole time. So, and right around the last day of shooting, he started to break a little bit and joke around.
That's good.
But for the first 3 days, he was just like, I'm looking at him like, he's thinking about killing me. While I'm talking to him, like, off stage. Yeah.
That's cool.
My dad was in character my whole childhood.
Yes. He's thinking about killing you.
What happened with your dad?
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. No, you know, I think it's really funny. Because I always hear, like, people from, like, the South or the Midwest or people from small towns talking about immigrants. Why don't they learn English? I'm like, dude, when you leave 5 miles outside of your small town, you lose your mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. Immigrating is really hard and really stressful. And I think it was partially that. You know, I was just a kid and I was hyperactive and he had expectations. You know, he's like, we're moving to America. I need you to become a doctor. I need you to get all A's.
Sounds like you spoke English really well.
Yes.
No, oh, well, yeah, no, I can't do his accent. Yeah, no,
no, but it is a different culture, too. It's totally a different culture. Exactly. Is it more commonplace out there? Is it like, I know the women aren't treated very well out there. Are the children also
it's
in the
different,
same situation?
Man. It's different for sure. You know, like, I just saw this comic strip, right, in Egypt the other day. And Egypt's going through a lot of turmoil right now. Right. And in the comic strip, it was really telling. On one side, it was an Egyptian classroom. And in the comic strip, the kid's telling the teacher, hey, I have this idea, but it's not what the book says. And then the teacher beats him.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
sounds about right.
And then the other side of the comic book, it's a kid in America. And he's saying, I have this idea, but it's not what the book says. And he's like, great, let's look it up. And he's on the internet. And there's all, and even there, I mean, even there, they get it. Those are the political cartoons. There are people that connect with that as a statement.
Right.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
So it's a, but you're right. It's not just a generation gap. It's a culture gap, too.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, it's a lot. It was a lot of stuff. And I wasn't the greatest kid. You know, I really wasn't.
Well, how old were you?
This started, you know, kind of early on, 10 or 11, but I learned at an early age, you know what I mean? I learned that, kids picked on me, beat me up. And if I finally fought one kid back and I knocked the shit out of him, and I'm like, wow, all of a sudden everybody likes me.
Right.
And my dad couldn't turn it off. You know what? Cause what happened was I got the shit beat out of me once and he told me, don't ever fight anybody. Don't get in trouble. Cause if you do, they'll send you back to Egypt by yourself. That was his way of managing
it.
So one time I came home, I was around 12 and I started wetting my bed. And my mom's like, what the hell's going on? She asked my uncle, who's a doctor, and he said it's from stress. So she's like, what the fuck, stress? So she came with me to school on a school bus because we only had one car.
Right.
And a kid punched me right in front of her. And I'm like, don't worry, he doesn't hit hard. And don't worry, I won't hit him because I don't want to go back to Egypt. So my mom told my dad, we went to the principal. My mom's trying to speak to the principal, but she didn't speak English well. Mm-hmm. And the principal like got tired of her. And he goes, listen, if I wasn't there, there's nothing I can do about it. So then the next day I went to school, my dad told me, he's off, somebody hits you, you hit them back. And I beat the shit out of this kid and knocked his tooth out. And the principal called my house and he goes, hey, Mr. Catan, you know, this is out of control. Your son's got an anger problem. We need to send him to therapy. My dad's like, hold on. If I wasn't there, there's nothing I can do about it. And he hung up on it.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. But it turned me into a fighter. You know, for a long time.
Huh. Wow. Man, that's a crazy story.
I wish I had it, Dad.
Yeah, you were joking about that earlier, LJ. What was your story, man? What's the truth there?
The truth about what?
Did you have a dad growing up?
No, I did not. Oh, okay. I really did not.
Okay.
You know, I know black man in the ghetto, not a dad. I know it's rare, but. Right.
What was the ghetto?
No, well, south side of Chicago, man.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, but like I said, fortunately, it's like I joke about it, but thankfully, you know, that whole it takes a village. When I was growing up, I lived right across the street from my aunt, and my aunt and uncle lived across the street and a couple of my cousins, and then right down the street were my grandparents.
Right.
So right, and you know, my mom's younger brother, my uncle, who was in high school at the time. So this was the neighborhood. So I, you know, I had my uncle and my grandfather to That's look great. Up to, and you know, it's like, I never really missed having, cause my mom and I joke about that night, cause it seems like whenever some black dude goes to jail and says, well, he never had a father. So no, I'm like, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just, that's just his excuse. So like I said, I joke about not having a father, but you know, it's like, I didn't know any different. Just like, oh, I don't have a father. I got my mom. I got my grandfather. I got my uncles. And you have a big family, a lot of cousins. So, you know.
But the role model example is a good, you're totally right.
Like I said, yeah. Cause I guess I had my grandfather and my uncle as, you know, two spectrums of, you know, because my uncle's in high school, so I'm like, he's talking to the girls, he's on the football team, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
And then my grandfather and grandmother, who've been together forever, so when I get married, I'm gonna be just like that. And, but
that's cool. That's important, man.
You know, so
what I told one of my friends, he said the same thing. He's like, well, I didn't have a dad. And I'm like, well, let me ask you this: is a broken GPS better than no GPS? You know, in terms of telling me how to live. But if you have somebody that like leads you and inspires you, that's a great thing.
Right, exactly.
We're going to start having GPS parents. Brush your teeth in 2 minutes.
Yes.
We're going to go on vacation for 2 weeks. We're going to leave the GPS on for you.
Don't worry. Exactly. We're going to
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Recalculating when you don't brush your teeth. You see the brownie?
Exactly.
Recalculating.
You should be done by now. It's time for bed. So, I don't know what else, guys.
got another 10 minutes here. What should we talk about? So you are single or you're not single? You kind of
I don't want to answer that question.
Why don't you,
what is with you wanting to know personal life? You
it's
want
Comedy Bone. That's what we do here.
That's not comedy. Yeah, but I'm not.
Should LJ is single as hell.
We know you are. Shit. Everyone knows you are.
I'm always single. Yeah. Even when I've got a girlfriend, I'm single. I don't give a fuck.
I just want to answer the question.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean this because it's like a beginning stages and I don't want to.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, that's cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and I don't even know.
She's not going to hear this.
I don't even know. She'll hear. Somebody else will hear it. There'll be you're a
like,
fucking problem.
You're not like, if you even tag me on Facebook, she'll hear it.
I can't mention an ex in a podcast without somebody calling either that ex or another ex upset.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm just going to.
All right.
I've already told too much.
Yeah, that's okay.
What about you? How was your father?
My father,
why are you living with a fucking
this is why
cat?
I'm not headlining. I have too many fucking, everything's okay. It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't have any problems with that stuff.
You don't have
stuff,
any problems.
Really.
You don't have anybody you don't like. Your dad's doing fine.
My wife, dad's fine. I don't have a wife. I'm not married.
You have a cat with no nose.
Yeah. Bozoon, that's her name.
What's her name again?
Bozoon.
Bozoon.
Yeah.
It's like Atari.
It's an ex-girlfriend's cat, and it was going to get eaten by a pit bull if I didn't take it.
So. Oh, okay.
Wow.
So yeah. She gave you the cat, and you're taking it.
Well, she was over here all the time, so I go, yeah, just keep her here. Yeah, and then we broke up. I'm like, well, you can't put her back with the pit bull. So, right. Because it killed a cat.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It killed a kitten she brought home, so.
Did you date a chola? Is that what you were dating? What's going on?
A little white Jewish girl who had a pit bull. I don't know what the fuck
she
was thinking.
Why do
dude.
Girls like these dangerous? They always have pit bulls.
I
like,
don't know.
I don't understand.
I think it's cool.
It's like that's little girls driving those big SUVs. Yeah. It's like, this is your tough. This is your, like, you fighting back and saying, look how powerful I am. I'm bigger than you. I could see the car accident's 5 blocks ahead. I will muscle you out of the way with my SUV.
Right.
Yeah. And I have a pit bull in my house, and I don't know how to control it. So when it bites your dog, I'm going to cry and not. I walked down Runyon Canyon once, and there was a pit bull killing another dog. And everybody was just standing there, and everybody was trying to get the pit bull off the other dog. And then finally, this guy whose dog it was goes, he's only listening to your fucking voice.
Yeah.
Fucking say something. Yeah. After 10 minutes, the girl goes, stop. Whatever, the dog stops.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean? Like
And the pit bull activists are crazy about protecting the pit bulls and how they're like, watch this video. It's licking this little girl on the cheek. It's so gentle. It's of course they have their moments. They have their moments when they're killing dogs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how it's just like, just because your dog hasn't done anything yet, or maybe never will, but that doesn't mean most pit bulls have a tendency to have instincts that are a little dangerous.
A fucking leash on.
Yeah. I got bit in the face when I was a kid by a pit bull.
Yeah.
See this scar right here?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Right there and right there. He bit my face like this.
Damn.
And his tooth cut open my eyelid.
What the fuck?
It was crazy. Oh. Yeah, they called my parents. It was like our fourth year here. I thought I lost my eye for sure. And the dude didn't want to tell my dad whether or not the dog had rabies shots.
Oh, my God.
Until my dad promised he wouldn't sue him. Because back then, they'd give you the shots in your belly button, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Whew, it was terrible.
Well, that was a scary thing when I was growing up, man. I was like, I better not ever need one of those, man. I don't even like shots in my ass or my arm.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be longer needles, too. It's just like a lot of them or something.
Yeah.
I haven't shot in years. I probably do have rabies with that.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Scurvy.
I've been holding it.
We got 8 minutes left. Okay. We'll wait for you.
That was only 2 minutes. You're going to go to the bathroom right now?
I got
to
pee so bad.
Oh, all right.
I can hold you. Oh, you're a sexy man.
Don't let Bozoon out. Just close the door.
Yes.
Yep, just keep going. It's on the right.
Don't let
Bozoon out.
There was an Atari game named Bozoon, I think.
Kaboom.
I was joking. Yeah. Bozoon.
You into video games?
So.
Not really.
Did you used to be?
I was big in Atari, man. I love going to the arcade.
I had the Atari 2600.
Yes. Arcade was the shit.
I went to, I played San Jose Improv, and I drove 30 minutes to Santa Cruz where they shot Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an arcade with a little tiny room that said Classics. Mm-hmm. Fucking Q-Bert was in there.
Uh-huh.
And Marble Madness. Once again, they had Marble Madness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Marble Madness, the old game where the older guys played. When you
I remember there was a ball, you had to roll it,
they had their
go against gravity.
Their bowling gloves, and they were all taking it seriously.
They were wearing their bowling gloves. Yeah. I remember
They had Dragon's Lair.
I love that game.
Dragon Lair.
I have that for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I have, remember they used to get real serious about that track and field?
Yeah, they have that too.
They bring an electric toothbrush and a pencil and they were trying to do crazy shit like that.
I used to see that movie, The King of Kong.
No.
It's all about the guy.
Oh, yeah,
with
the documentary about the guys in Nebraska or something. Yeah. There's like three documentaries.
There's Chasing Ghosts, and there's another one that's really good. I can't remember.
I saw the one you're talking about.
KM Khan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's in all three of them. Because it was like, it's like all about the guys with the highest records and arcade games.
That's a lot of time you got to put into that.
Yeah, I know.
It's fucking real. It was fascinating.
They play Donkey Kong until the screen freezes and like it makes like this special screen.
They were,
and, like,
they were many celebrities for a while. It was for like, my parents didn't know them, but they were famous. Yeah. We knew their faces.
Yeah. Video games are like movies. They don't make them like they used to.
No.
It's,
well, they're pretty good, though.
Well, they're amazing to look at, but the gaming, it used to be more about skill and, like, I don't know. Yeah. Now it's more about, like,
can
how
you
it looks.
It, how it looks, and how can you figure this
figure
out?
Figure it out, yeah.
I want to figure out. Give me a game that I don't sit there and problem solve.
These
and
3D
cheat
games,
codes and shit like that. Yeah. And, like, here's a second.
3D games get me nauseous,
I like
man.
The Twisted Metal series.
Yeah.
You guys play that?
The clown.
Yeah, but they became so violent that I'm like, the first game was kind of cartoony and fun. And now they're like serial killers driving the cars. I'm like, guys. But I missed now they have problem solving in that game, too.
All I play is Madden. That's it.
Yeah,
I got a very expensive Madden football game. That's it.
I've always been a Mortal Kombat guy. They're on version 10 right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think that's when I tuned out in video games, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's pretty bloody.
I played Tekken for a while.
Oh, yeah. Those are good games, too, the fighting games.
If you just kick the guy in the shins for a half hour, you always won. Just kick him in the shins.
Finish it.
That's how I play. That's how I fight now. Let's kick the guy in the shins.
Guest 7 wants me to ask you to ask Brian about Sullivan and Son.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it, but we can talk about it again.
Yeah, let me see if he has a specific question for you.
That's so random.
Yeah.
What?
So, talk about
what's your favorite
the letter
ice cream?
W.
I have fun opinions on W.
What's your favorite liquid?
What is your favorite liquid?
Coca-Cola.
Whiskey.
Water.
Oh, that's up there.
By the way, you said that you, I thought you were, when we first started talking about the alcohol and everything, you had told me that you were sober now, and then I see you drinking and stuff.
Well, no, it's a different thing. Like, for me, it depends, right? Like, it wasn't a physiological thing for me. When I was going through therapy, my therapist actually said, I don't want you to stop smoking weed yet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I said, why? He goes, I want you to get to the thing that you're numbing first.
Right.
And understand what it is that you're numbing and start dealing with it.
Wean off of it.
Exactly. Before you just cut out the weed and then have to deal with this thing in the raw. And I've never had a therapist do that before, but it's why I like him. He's a great therapist. Dr. Bennett Williamson, Silver Lake, California.
Keeps smoking weed. It's fine with me.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Do one bump a week.
That's funny.
No, I don't touch the coke.
Did he have a specific?
I asked him. I mean, he hasn't replied yet. We'll see if he's still there. It says his name in there.
Okay.
He's probably trying to think of something. He probably didn't know we already talked about it, so he's probably...
That's what I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And we made fun of him.
What would be the question? Give me a question. We only have 3 minutes left, right?
Are you happy with the show? Me, personally, as a fan, I watched that show, and I got excited because I said, this is definitely going to make it. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I've had so many things get canceled and not get picked up that I'm afraid to ever go. This is going to make
knock
it.
On
yeah.
The
first thing I did, I was like, this was a show with me and Tiffany Amethyst, and I was like, this is going to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we never got picked up. Scrubs beat us. That's why I will never watch Scrubs. But I was like, oh, so I was so heartbroken. Then it happened a bunch more of that.
I feel like this is pretty, everyone's talking about it, though. Like,
you
I was,
think?
Yeah,
I, don't
yeah,
know.
Yes. I went to the Hollywood Improv the other night, and they had it on all the TVs. Everyone was watching.
Yeah, well, they know all the comics. But
yeah, of course.
I know people are watching. I think it's 2.5 million is our rating so
That's
far,
good.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty good for TBS, but I'd love for it to come back. I think that we're starting to at least figure out who the characters are on a non, one-dimensional plateau. We're finding out more about them.
Right.
There's room to build now, and I would love for them to call us back so we can go back to work in October because I think they deserve it. Yeah. Great writers and everything. I feel like we're going to get picked up.
Right on.
Yeah, I think
fingers
we'll
crossed. I'm going to knock on wood like a superstitious Egyptian Greek.
There you go.
It is real wood. There you go.
There you go.
But it's a lot of fun.
Cool. He said he missed the beginning. Sorry. Just great to see you on TV again.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, totally.
It's nice to hear you say that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get a lot of fans emailing you about stuff sometimes? Like,
there are a lot of people just happy that my friends and if I call them fans, but they're just people that I think go, hey, they haven't seen me on TV really on a regular role since Stacked, which was 6 years ago. So I think if you know.
So I got you to come down at the right time, because in like another 6 months, you'd be like, fuck you.
It's nice. I'm happy to be on TV again, too. I don't even care if it's fewer lines than it was on Stacked. Right. I'm like, that's just nice to work.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I had given up, as you can see. From the body type of that guy. I really gave up.
Well, you might not have gotten this part if you didn't have that body type, right?
That's one thing.
Well, I congratulate you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Way to go, keep
up the work there.
Thank you.
So, I guess we'll... you got any plugs, LJ? What are you doing coming up?
Well, like I said, all I got, I'm going out to the East Coast, so East Coast, get ready for me. I'm doing your show. I'm headlining...
Sardo's in Burbank. Yes. Yeah, that's big time, right?
Yes. About to hit that up. And and that's really about
We'll have fun in Gotham, man.
And you got your new album starting, right?
We're gonna work on that. So look for that. Oh, go to the website, lj.com, ELJAYE. Again, that's ELJAYE.com.
LJ.com. Can they find your Twitter links on there and everything?
Yes,
at your website?
Everything's on there.
All right, cool. And Tamara, I know you're moving back to LA and is it 2 weeks now?
Something like that. Yes,
something
sir.
Like that. I know it's 21st. Like I don't forget.
And I'm really excited. I'm going to be headlining at Purple Onion.
Oh, sweet.
On Thursday. So I'm really stoked that I'll get to do that before they close it down.
The closing shop sale going on up there.
Exactly. And then headlining at Flappers in Burbank on the 8th.
I'm sorry.
At the Flash Rave Mon.
I've had a couple
could
issues
open
myself.
The wallet? Just open the wallet. Just give me $10 so I feel like I'm doing something
wrong. That's awesome.
Please. Open your wallet.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So you're headlining there. What's the date?
September 8th at Flappers, and then the 30th of August at the Purple Onion.
And they can get tickets at Laughstub or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And the website's tamarkatan.com.
Tamarkatan.com.
Yeah, Katan's just like Chris Kattan, and Tamer's like Tamer. T-A-M-E-R-K-A-T-T-A-N.
Right.
T-A-M-E-R-K-A-T-T-A-N.
And if you like that website, you can get a website just like it at monarchwebsites.com.
That's right.
Websites,
yeah. I made his website.
Cool. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've made a few websites.
Wish I would have known that.
Yeah, man. I think yours was up before I started doing it. It's only been a year and a half.
Did you have the pen?
Okay.
Did you have the pen?
I did.
Interesting.
I did.
I should have given him chicken fingers.
That means I will not be asking him.
Your website looks great as it is, man.
I've got my friend in New York does it.
Yeah.
Taco Design.
And what do you got going on besides...
Sullivan's Son, I think. Besides a couple of small things that I don't even know if they're coming out or not, like a bit part of the Nick Kroll Comedy Central show. Mm-hmm. But there's something I did. Me and my friends are shooting a web series called Legend Hunters, and I never did a web series before.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my two friends from New York, Voodoo Op Productions, you can look us up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
VOODOOWOP. It's really silly shit. There's no rules. You know, these are just me and my friends from college doing skits and short films, but we're going to do a web series. We shot three episodes already. I just don't know how to promote it. Once I figure out how to promote a web series, I will put it online.
That's cool.
I'm happy about it because I think the most fun I've ever had is working with my friends from college.
I run a stand-up comedy page on Facebook. It has over like 35,000 people. I'll put it on there for you.
Totally. So
I don't know how helpful it'll be, but I mean, I'll definitely put it on there for
me putting up there by myself.
Yeah, that'll help.
Being like my father.
I heard about it before, though. You haven't promoted it yet?
What, Voodoo Op?
Yeah.
Well, Voodoo Op has been around for a long time, but we used to get featured. And then one day we put a song in that was licensed, and they flagged us, so now we can no longer be featured.
Oh, jeez.
So it's either reload all 60 to 70 videos, or just create a new profile and start putting a web series on it.
Gotcha, okay.
We decided we might want to, we've been doing skits for so long, that we might want to focus on one thing.
Yeah.
So we're trying a web series.
Right. Okay.
I have no idea, but it's fucking stupid.
Well,
it's really stupid.
It is stupid. And if you start a new account, you can't do videos longer than 15 minutes on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, you got to wait till you earn that. It's like, it's pretty, there's some strict shit out there.
There's some business shit involved with that.
Yeah.
This is the first time in advertising where digital's done an upfront and Google and YouTube presented original content.
So now they're competing against us.
Right.
Wow. That's why they're coming up with
If you
new
put who the name of the record label is, the artist, like, you know how I used the Bad to the Bone song at the beginning?
Right.
Yeah. There's like this thing called Common Rights. If you put it for like 5 seconds at the beginning, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And then they flag you, you can tell them that, you know, you show them that and they'll be like, okay, you're fine then. That's what I read.
You put it in there.
Like an actual text, like right when, like a music video, at the bottom right. corner, let's say like Madonna.
So you have all those things listed that you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
No, I'll show you what I mean.
Okay.
Afterwards. All right. Sure. So that was episode 13. It wasn't such bad luck. I think it was fun. We talked about some stuff.
I didn't even realize.
Boom. So we're going to put that in the can, as I always say every week for some stupid reason. And we're going to end this right now, okay? Thank you guys for coming down. Appreciate you taking
the
time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man.
Thank you. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.